Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different things. College basketball. Who watches that? Did you watch last night?
Last night, no.
I don't play. I mean, think about where we've come. Last night was a big Monday night within the conference.
Right.
You had West Virginia at Baylor. You had TCU at Oklahoma. That would have, a decade ago or 20 years ago, that is like watch party. Let's all meet up at the bar.
Yeah,
and watch the game.
It was like Monday Night Football, and then after Monday Night Football, that's right. Over, you got it's, your it's college. What, it was Big Monday. It was
it's what carried the, over on Monday nights, yeah.
It was the game of the week.
For sure. And then there might be two. And then you always got mad at the Big East because their games went too long.
Yeah.
And it got past 8 o'clock, and you're like, dadgummit, we're missing the tip. Oh, my gosh, they got the score down. It's 4-0 Kansas. Come on.
But those games are usually good out of the Big East anyways.
Normally. Or at least close.
That's a whole other discussion. Remember how good those conference tournaments were for the Big East?
All conferences.
How fun those were.
All of them. Instead, last night it was a big Monday, and nobody even paid attention that Oklahoma was playing. And for good reason, because it's horrific basketball. It's just bad. And so what is the way to fix it? How do you fix, can you fix college basketball? Is it even fixable? So that's one of the questions we've got on the table. How do you or can you fix college hoops? Which I know for the period of time that you and I grew up, college basketball, kids, was way cooler than the NBA. Way cooler.
Right.
You know what tomorrow is? Speaking of things, speaking of cool things of our past.
I do not know. Groundhog Day? I don't know. What is tomorrow?
Isn't today Groundhog Day?
I have no clue. Is it?
February 1st, isn't it?
I haven't heard anything. Usually it's on the news.
Punxsutawney Phil? Maybe it's tomorrow.
Phil? Like the Groundhog Phil?
Punxsutawney Phil is his name.
Like the Groundhog. I'm going to look up. Yeah. No, what is tomorrow?
Tomorrow's the second signing day.
Oh, well. Is it? Oh, it's Wednesday, by the way. Groundhog Day is Wednesday.
Wednesday, so the 2nd, February 2nd. Yeah. So it's Groundhog Day and the second signing day. Talk about something that's lost its luster.
Today felt like Monday for some reason when I woke up.
Today is Tuesday,
Jared.
Today
is Tuesday.
You have to go somewhere. Where do you go?
Hammond.
At Hammond.
I don't know what time, but there's been rumors flying around, but I'm told from a head coach that the times are fine. They're normal still.
6:30.
Yeah, that's where I'm at tonight.
So we've got signing day coming up tomorrow. That'll be fun to kind of see what happens. I know that, honestly, Oklahoma is one of the main players tomorrow, it seems like, because
really?
Of the lack of signees that they were able to put together in the first national signing day. We've got high school hoops tonight. I'll tell you where everybody will be, kind of recap what happened over the weekend. With the high school hoops, we'll let Jared talk about the little kid hoops from over in Canute. Rave reviews from the tournament that was put on over there by multiple different towns and different fan bases. And it is official. As Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington told you on a Saturday, Tom Brady has announced his retirement. And we went through that whole thing yesterday about the timing of it. This made perfect sense. He didn't want to disrupt the games on Sunday. He doesn't want to disrupt the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. So what's he do? He gets it out early in the off week. That way, all the tributes can happen. All the Tom Brady discussion can happen all the way until next week. And then it'll be Super Bowl week, and everybody refocuses on the game. Perfect job by Tom Brady.
The thing about Tom Brady in his announcement to retire, And I get it, what everything you said, and he's doing out of respect for the game and not trying to overshine it. But he is it's almost not even an argument, the greatest football player in NFL history. The Pope could be in town, and if he made that announcement, everybody go, hold on, Pope. Did you guys hear that Tom Brady retired? That's how big he is and how big of an announcement that is. He doesn't have to apologize for anybody for if that leaked out. You know what I mean? If he felt like he has to apologize for taking the shine off of a couple of football games. People still watched. People were still entertained. Anyway, my two cents on that. That's how big he is and how big this is. Because it's, remember when I text you in that first, what I say? We're all going to remember where we were when we first heard Tom Brady is going to retire.
Yeah, I was sitting in
the first time.
I was sitting in the stands in Weatherford.
I was in Canute.
It was almost halftime of that girls' game on Saturday. Because when I looked at my phone, I saw it, and I was like, huh. And then it got to halftime. Sam came up for his halftime interview before the boys' game, you know, at halftime of the girls' game. And that's the first thing I showed him. Hey, check this out. It wasn't, hey, good win last night.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it overshadowed. It was, I mean, it's big news.
Look at this.
News.
Look what happened.
Big news.
Oh, no way. I didn't think he was going to. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Oh, so, you know, best win since when, huh? You know, you know, after that Blanchard game, you're right about that. And I have some thoughts. I want to hear your thoughts too, because we didn't really get into the question I asked Jim about where he stands in the pantheon of all athletes. And I thought, Jim, if you want to talk about dominance, he had a great answer, and it's a guy that gets lost in the shuffle because it's hockey.
Yeah.
You know, but the great one, Wayne Gretzky, obviously outshined anybody before and after him on a level that almost nobody has. So he kind of had the best of both worlds. He had the team success in Edmonton, but he also had the unbelievable individual numbers. And I don't we'll get into it. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. Give us a call. Shoot us a text if you want to get into that. Whatever else is on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to step outside the listening area, a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app has everything. It's got the Pity News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. We'll tell you where we'll be tonight. And we've also got the Skinny on Sports podcast on KADSAM.com or iTunes. I'm like, wait a minute, what? He officially announced his retirement, right? I mean, reading this.
Yeah, he put it out on his socials.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yeah, difficult. Yeah. Here's the statement, or his.
You have the statement?
Yeah, I've always believed the sport of football, is that what it starts, is an all-in proposition. If 100% competitive commitment isn't there, you won't succeed, and success is what I love so much about our game. There's a physical, mental, and emotional challenge every single day, and he all caps every, so he's serious about that. That has allowed me to maximize my highest potential, and I've tried my very best these past 22 years. There are no shortcuts to success on the field or in life. It's difficult for me to write, but here it is. But here it goes. I'm not going to make that competitive commitment anymore. I've loved my NFL career, and now it is time to focus my time and energy on other things that require my attention. That was 30 minutes ago. Barstool Sports retweeted what Tom Brady had wrote. So, yeah, he's done.
That's the crazy thing for me is that he played 22 seasons, and we were still talking about will he or won't he.
How about this? He played 22 seasons, and his final season, he's going to end up the runner-up for the MVP.
Yeah. Usually guys, but, you know, when I said it
before. And numbers-wise, he was about the best.
Yeah, way before the playoffs started, we were talking kind of like the what-ifs, the scenarios with Tom Brady and his future. You know, my what-if was, you know, what if he goes out on top, wants to go out on top. Then he should have retired last year after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with that. I think he was going to squeeze every single ounce of competitive juice out of his body.
Yeah.
to where he, because, you know, this is always the conversation when, you know, people, athletes either retire too early or even too late sometimes, but it's the fact that I don't know what else to do with that competitive energy. I just don't. And the only thing I know how to do is play whatever sport is there. And I think that's where he is such, I mean, that statement tells you everything to me, is that he was going to play as long as he possibly could, commit to giving every bit of that energy out of him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't think the results of the season necessarily mattered to him. Now, would it have been great if he's able to, you know, if he thought he did that last year? Maybe so, but he clearly still had it.
Yeah,
he wanted, you know, with what he did this year on the field. I mean, he clearly still had, you know, maybe not his 95 mile an hour fastball, but he's sure humming it up there 91.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
and the experience and the know-how and you know, of how to play this league, in this league, and all that.
I mean, that last game shows you a lot of the different things that made him great, because in the first half, it looked like he was throwing at half speed, especially when you compared it to the cannon that Stafford had on the other side, right?
Yes.
You know, when you see in his passes were, you know, the throw to Gronk that got picked, it felt like it was like a half step late, and he didn't get it out there like he used to. And then all of a sudden in that comeback, it was like, whew, he's throwing missiles all over the field.
Yeah.
Including, you know,
holding back.
He just let it go because he figured him out. And he there wasn't any hesitation whatsoever in his arm. It was just like, okay, here's the play. Boom, there he is. And how crazy is it that the throw that he made on his last touchdown was that long one to Evans? It was dead money on the dot against Jalen Ramsey as the corner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where do you put him? I mean, you just said all-time best football player. I think it's such a different conversation, right? Because when you talk about athlete, like who's the best, he's not the best quote-unquote athlete if you're just measuring tangible athletic ability.
Well, he's not beating anybody in the 40.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, like, look at that picture of him in the combine.
Right.
He's in his boxer shorts and he's got a beer belly. For all intents and purposes. And that's another thing that's crazy about him. He looks like he's in better shape at 44 than he did at 22. But where do you put him?
As far as NFL football players?
I mean, if you NFL, you've got him one.
I have him one.
I think it's super hard to argue with.
Jim made a great point yesterday during his show in the afternoon. The quarterback position is the most important position in the NFL. He was the best to do it all time, bar none. And again, it's hard to even argue that. You got other quarterbacks that are going to be up there with the all-time greats, and he's, you know, as far as your Mount Rushmores of quarterbacks, sure. But he, with what, how many Lombardis he won, MVPs he won, the records he has, you know, the bar that he set is almost going to be unreachable in terms of championships, but. That's where I put him. I mean, that's the pinnacle of any sport, is how many trophies did you win? And he's won a lot.
I'm going to play devil's advocate just for a second, because I don't necessarily disagree with you. But then there's the conversation of, okay, if you want to talk about the winner, yeah, he's it. And if you want to talk about the most accomplished player in NFL history, yeah, he's it. And quarterback as well. Do you put any stock into an argument against him that there are other guys that were more physically talented than him that played the position better than him?
Physically?
And also succeeded. Like, let's say, like a John Elway.
Well, there's John Elway. Isn't,
you know, Montana,
there?
Those types of guys. Do you even give any credence to an argument that it can be anybody but Brady as the best quarterback of all time?
It's hard for me to do that. It's hard for me to. Man, it'd be nice if they played at the same time, just so you could have the head-to-head matchups and see how they went. You know, like physically, just to see it in contrast with each other.
Right.
But it's hard. It and I get it. There were more physical, better athletes than Tom Brady. Sure. You know, John Elway. You know, you don't see Tom Brady diving for the pylon and getting spun around like the helicopter,
right?
Like Elway. You know, Montana was so fleet-footed. Shoot, even Garcia was fleet-footed. I keep going back to his trophy case for me and his rings. I keep going back to that.
Here's why I don't give any credence to it, because I agree with you. Look what he did over the last 5 years of his career at an advanced age. From 39 to 44. How many more did he put in the trophy case?
Oh, two? Yeah.
He put two more in the case and played for another one. When they got beat by, what was that, 2018 Super Bowl? They lost to Philly. Then they beat the Rams. Did they win another one at New England? Oh, they did. They beat the Falcons.
Falcons came back to beat them.
Good
in overtime.
Grief. And then the Bucks. So in the last, what, 6 years, so from 38 to 44, he puts three more Lombardis in the trophy case. At that age that nobody else has even played. You know what I mean? I mean, that's right. What's – and it wasn't – Peyton Manning put one in there at the very end. And they won – and Denver won that Super Bowl almost in spite of him. Mm-hmm. You know, when you watch that, it was Von Miller, it was that defense, and Peyton just kind of lofted it out there a couple of times. But it wasn't you didn't go back and watch that game or at the end of it going, oh, my gosh, Peyton Manning is the MVP of this game by any stretch, or should he have been. It wasn't that way. Tom Brady leads the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history at, what, 40? From down 28-3?
Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah. That's why I think if you stopped him – after the Seahawks Super Bowl, when they beat Seattle and Seattle wouldn't run it in on them, and Malcolm Butler makes the pick, if you stop him then, I think you have an argument because he's just at four. There's some things that you can point to other guys. But when he puts three more in from age 38 to 44, there ain't no argument. The only argument is where he sits in all of sports because in football, he's the king.
His career was kind of parallel in a sense to Montana, where he spent the majority of it at one place, and then like the final Montana did put two seasons in Kansas City.
Yeah, two or three.
Right. Made I it think to what was very telling for Tom Brady was that he left New England after all that time there, and then goes to Tampa Bay. And wins the whole dang thing.
See, that's...
I'm like, wow. It's like, it begs the question, could he have been... And I know he had help. He had Gronk come with him. I've always been a Mike Evans fan. You know, Fournette showed up there. You know, he had the guy. But that's going to happen when a great quarterback shows up at your doorstep. Other guys are going to want to follow suit. It begs the question, could he couldn't have been plugged in at Jacksonville and he's going to go win a Super Bowl. Or could he? I mean,
sure.
You're over here going, maybe... But that does beg the question, could he? Is he a guy that he could have gone anywhere he wanted in one?
Kind of like the LeBron concept.
Kind of.
You know,
which I think is a lot harder to do in the NFL than in the NBA.
100%. That's what I'm getting texts on my phone. 21
text
other
or text line.
Yeah, 21
We're
other
about to
guys.
Go to airplane mode on our phones during the show. Text or text line.
21 other guys on Brady's teams that had big parts to play in winning the Super Bowls. Best quarterback, not necessarily best football player. I don't disagree that he had those other guys, but tell me a time where those other guys lifted up Tom Brady to win something and it wasn't him lifting the others. Hmm. That's the incredible part of him, is he made Deion Branch a Super Bowl MVP.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, think about Adam Vinatieri and his career because of what Tom Brady allowed him to try to do.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and
yes.
That's where I get it. It's a team sport. There's no doubt about that. But he's also with that position in the NFL comes either great scrutiny and probably too much scrutiny, or it comes great joy and great accomplishment and probably too much of that too. There's probably too much credit given and too much taken away, mm-hmm. depending on results of games. And that's just what he gets to have. Because he played the hardest position in sports and succeeded to levels that nobody else ever has.
Yes.
And to me, Gronk doesn't make Brady. Brady makes Gronk.
Totally agree.
You know, the only guy he ever played with that I think you could you could almost consider on his level was Moss.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were peers in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Everyone else, I mean, sorry, Wes Welker. Nobody even knew who you were in Miami. Now you're damn near a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what he did for those guys. And I get the whole defense and all that. I understand the whole idea of football. And honestly, in the early time of those Patriots Super Bowls, the first 3 and 4 years back in the early 2000s, I think that team was a lot more constructed in a defense first. Brady, he didn't become Brady really until the undefeated season that fell short in the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
That's when he became like this unstoppable force. And that was 8 years into his career. And guess what? He played 15 more that way. I mean, think how long ago that undefeated season feels. That feels forever ago.
Yeah, it does.
And he was 8 years in then. That's how long and how great he was. I mean, all time, I think Jim's Wayne Gretzky is a great one. Just because of the way he dominated his sport unlike anybody else. If you don't know what hockey is, then you'll kind of probably laugh at that. Go, what? Who? Just go look. Go watch. Because he had everything Brady did individually and also the team success as well. And even his numbers were even more ludicrous than what Brady's ended up being compared to everybody else. You know, Michael Jordan will be the first one that leaps to a lot of people's minds as, you know, the greatest athlete we've ever seen. I hesitate to compare the individual sports with the team ones because there's not that concept. You know, the Tigers, the Jacks, the Muhammad Ali's, you know, those guys are kind of – they're not really in – they have their own conversation, right? To me, there's a difference between the team sport aspect and the individual sport aspect when you're talking about the greatest. You know, they can each have a trophy, the greatest individual and the greatest team. But he's up there. I mean, any Mount Rushmore type of talk for the best athlete of all time in a team sport, his face is either chiseled on it or he's right there on deck waiting to be chiseled on it, to me. Because that's how good he was.
Yes.
And I think –
yeah, the individual thing, it's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with the same
things. Because that came to my mind too when we talk about the all time greatest athletes of all sports. And I thought, well, there's Muhammad Ali. You know, that came to mind after we talked with Jim yesterday. That came up, and then actually it was brought up yesterday during the show. And all the individual ones, but he made a good point. You know, there's a difference there, and it's not taken away from their accomplishments by any means, but. What he did as a team and whatever team he was on, he was winning. It was because of him. That's Tom Brady. It's hard to go against that. But the Wayne Gretzky thing, I mean, if you understand hockey and you know what the point system is, I mean, it's something that hasn't even been close to being touched.
No. Now, it's funny you mentioned moving because Wayne Gretzky quit winning championships in Edmonton.
True.
He played Phoenix? No, he went to LA first.
That's right, LA. He went to Kings.
Yeah, that's the very first 30 for 30.
Oh, really?
It's called King's Ransom, and it's about that trade that sent Gretzky from Edmonton down to LA. And then from there, he was with the Blues. He was with the Rangers. He kind of skipped around toward the end of his career. And that's the end of career success that Tom Brady was able to enjoy and able to foster with multiple teams. I think the multiple teams is a huge advantage that he has over any of those other. Think about the other quarterbacks we mentioned. What did they all do? They played with one team.
Yeah.
Montana was just a 49er with success, and then he went. He didn't do it at Kansas City.
No.
Right? Elway was just a Bronco. You know, back to Terry Bradshaw was just a Steeler for the glory days. And he left at the age of 42 and went somewhere else and won the next year.
Yeah.
That is just.
That's what I said. That's unbelievable. Stands out to me. That's like storybook.
It'd have been crazy if he'd have done that at 32.
You know, and that's funny because there are fan bases in any sport, and they're like, oh, we got that player. Championship is it's our championship season. And that very rarely, you know, it takes a couple seasons, right? I mean, shoot, even LeBron, when he went to Miami, it didn't happen the first season. Mm-mm. Dallas got him, right?
Yep.
But that's what puts Tom Brady above guys like that, like LeBron and you know, obviously the best in the NFL. It's because he went to the very next year, boom, wins a title.
At 43 years old.
At 43 years old.
Wow. At 43.
Now, big question is, what's next? Saturday Night Live appearances and...
By the way, Peyton Manning was
that was I've watched
charts.
That more than once, and I still laugh at that thing hard.
I don't know what he's going to do. That's a really interesting question. He doesn't seem like the Aikman Romo type guy.
No, he's not going to get on
to
on
go
a headset,
to go analyze a game live. He also doesn't necessarily seem like the studio guy either.
I think he's going to have plenty of time and plenty of money just to sit back and reflect on his next move and.
He'll do something.
He'll do something, and you know,
he's 44. What about if he?
You know, here's the deal. I know I said this when we were still talking about would he retire, or where would he go after? You know, we all knew he was leaving New England. You know, and my thought was, well, where does his wife want to go? You know. So think about it like that. Is he going to get into fashion, or is he going to? Is he going to now? Kind of ride his wife's coattails, you know what I mean? Quite figuratively, probably.
I would probably ride his wife's.
You see what I'm saying?
Whatever she wanted me to ride. Okay. We're talking
come
about
on,
that.
Come on, man. Come on. Let's keep it. Come on. Let's keep it civil.
What you need, hey, in the break, you need to look this up, or I'll show it to you. It's a video. It's like, you know, those time-lapse videos?
Yeah, of his face.
It is. Have you seen that yet?
I've seen it already.
Yeah, it starts with Brady when he first. Yeah, you see, Billy's on my side here. If I'm him, I'm staying home with my wife.
Well, it's like the very end of the Friday Night Lights.
I got that
series.
From multiple people, actually.
Friday Night, you know, the end of the Friday Night Lights series,
yes.
Where he went to his wife, says, "Okay, it's your turn."
Yeah,
yeah, maybe that's what he's doing. He can do whatever he wants.
Coach Taylor hung it up. It's time for what was her name? Her real name's Connie, but what was her name in the?
I don't know, Mrs. Taylor.
Taylor.
I don't know. Yeah, and they went to like Pennsylvania or something.
That was a good series.
Turned out he went to coach there.
Has there ever been a more shocking pilot than the Friday Night Lights pilot?
Star quarterback.
Spoiler alert, yeah. In case people want to watch.
It's been, what, 20 years? How long has it been? Come on. You haven't seen it yet?
It's been a while.
I know my wife has, and I cannot get her to watch that show with me.
It's not about football.
I know.
Allie, it's a love story. It's not about
it's
football.
It's a great human piece. It's a great focus on the people. Anyways, Tom Brady retired.
Now, here's a good one. What about ownership? Tammy Taylor's Tammy.
Tammy. Yeah, I could.
That seems like something that would interest him.
Where's he going to go? Where's he going to live?
All great questions. Well, I'm going to wrap up the Tom Brady conversation like this. Tom Brady retires today with more Super Bowl wins than all 32 franchises.
Moving on.
That's where it's at.
That's.
He's won more Super Bowls than anybody's franchise in their history.
That's pretty cool. That's something, man. Golly.
It's pretty crazy that we all got to see it. Just lived at the right place at the right time.
That's the thing, you know. Here we are, I mean, late 30s, early 40s, and we can understand that, right? Like we the greatest has called it quits. It's hung them up. And it's kind of morbid to think, but we'll never see a guy like that in our lifetime. Hard to see it, you know, unless Joe Burrow goes and wins a Super Bowl in a couple of weeks and he continues that ride in Cincinnati. But it's hard to see it. It's hard to win championships in any sport at any level. It's hard. Very hard.
Yeah, even the great Tom Brady only won 7 of 22. Yeah. You know, another sad stat that I heard yesterday, and it was Matt Meyer picking on the Dallas Cowboys because he's a fan and he's frustrated.
Yeah.
Did you hear that one?
I heard it.
Cincinnati Bengals have won just as many playoff games this year as the Cowboys have since their last Super Bowl. Ouch.
Yeah, well,
ouchies. That one kind of hurts the heart.
The Dallas Cowboys are a punching bag, but you can punch them all they want. They're still going to be there hanging and ready to go.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so at some point. All right, what do you got high school tonight?
We got I got the schedule, and this is what we got right now. And I've put out a call to our broadcasters. If something changes, please let us know. But this is what we got right now. What do you got?
I was just saying, it doesn't feel, unless the weather speeds up.
It's going to be late tonight.
It doesn't feel like the weather is going to affect tonight.
Right.
Maybe, unless it speeds up. And obviously the concern is coming home for a lot of people,
right,
not going.
And even more, it looks like it's pushed off. Every forecast I see from 5 o'clock to 5:30 to 6, I mean, all the way to 10 o'clock last night, it's just like it's creeping more east than more so right here in western Oklahoma. I could be dead wrong, though. I'm not a weatherman, so please don't say, well, Jared Atha said it wasn't going to be bad.
But Jared Atha tomorrow will say from 6 o'clock to midnight every night. But that's just what the National Weather Service is saying. That's not your forecast.
What it says. Anyways, our broadcast tonight on Paragon TV. You're at Bethany.
No, I'm at Putnam City North.
Well, okay.
Well, people need to know that. If you're planning on going to the Elk City game tonight, it is not at Bethany.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
that's
at
right.
PC North. It's start. It's same.
But you're playing
start
Bethany.
That's correct.
Yeah, in OKC Metro.
PC North.
Area.
It's like 11800 North Rockwell.
Okay. Okay.
Hefner and Rockwell, kind of.
And your times are the same.
Same times. Okay. Just different place because of the problems that Bethany had at their gym when their floor got flooded.
Right. Leedy's at Moreland. That's and that one has been changed. 3:45 pregame, 4 o'clock tip.
To beat the weather for sure.
It's at Moreland,
right,
up north there. Cheyenne versus Merritt. Now, I've checked 2 out of 3 schedules, and 2 of them say, and 1 of them is from the official Cheyenne Schools website. It says it is at the Raiden Gym.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I know they do that throughout the year.
They do. So, Merritt, you're going to Raiden, not Cheyenne. If I'm wrong, I'm sure we'll hear about it. Eric versus...
That's why I let you do this.
Thanks. Eric is hosting Blair. Bring your boxing gloves. Canute is at Hammond. Arapahoe versus Hinton. Those are all normal times. I've reached out to at least one head coach, and I was told nothing's changed there.
Man, that's Arapahoe and Hinton?
Yes.
That could be fun.
Arapahoe hosting Hinton.
The girls' game won't be fun, but that boys' game could be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Number 6, I think, in 2A. This is another thing that we'll get to here in just a second, but the rankings locked yesterday.
Yes, that's right.
2A through 4A.
That's right.
And I'm feverishly refreshing the OSSAA website so it'll populate so that I can tell you what the rankings are. There it is.
The Canute Hammond thing they're doing.
Canute Hammond could be fun, girls.
Could be fun. I'm already talking trash to Kennedy. I did after the Granite game. Because we were sharing scores. Because I really want to know what that Merritt score
was. So funny.
I was texting her, hey, what's your score? What's your score?
Since everybody puts it on the Facebook page now instead of texting, I had somebody come up to me at in between games on Friday here at Elk City. It was Rob. Old Schwann's man, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Was wanting to know about that score.
Yeah.
Of Hammond and Merritt. I was like, man, used to. I'd be able to tell you right now. So I texted Kennedy, and she fired it right back that Hammond had avenged the loss from the week before in the Bi-County to Merritt and beat them fairly soundly at 48-36.
Remember when I said there were games that wake teams up or that could be the turning point? Maybe that loss was Hammond's.
Well, and, you know, for those Class A and B schools, I would think this last, 3 weeks of the schedule is just so hard because
everything's locked in.
You know what the bracket is now. Heck, you've known the bracket for a week. You've known the pairings for 3. And that's all you're it's great. Okay, we won the Bi-County. Nobody cares at the end of the season if you won the Bi-County when you're playing in the state tournament. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's it feels like that's just
that has to be the hardest thing.
It's got to be hard for those teams because.
Well, for a coach, you got to keep your players engaged. Go, listen, we know where we're going for districts. We know our path to the big house. But you can't sit back and relax. We got to continue to roll here. Right?
But try not to peak too early.
Yeah, that too.
You know, that's – and so I actually don't mind a couple of losses in there just to remind – especially the teams that hadn't lost much, reminds you, okay, wait a minute, it really stinks to lose. Let's not do that anymore.
True.
You know, starting, you know, everybody's got, what, two games left or something like that?
Yeah.
Two or three. And
yeah,
then,
after
tonight, I mean, heck, after tonight,
more.
Just maybe one for some. If they don't want to play early next week before the district tournament. This may be the last, you know, tonight and Friday night, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then it's a week off, and let's get ready for Saturday or whenever you're scheduled to play on the bracket. So,
but Canute Hammond tonight, they're doing the it's really cool that both schools are getting together. They're doing, like, the pink out thing.
Oh, cool.
So
very cool.
Sold some shirts. I got one on right now. Both schools getting together. It was a cool deal. It's a cool deal. So, and they'll have, I believe it's senior, I was told senior night. So a lot of stuff happening over at Hammond tonight.
That'll be a good one. I think that girls game has a chance to be a good one. Obviously the Arapahoe boys, that could be a really good game.
I'm always intrigued when, I'll be frank, when Leah Beer is coaching against her daughter. That's always intriguing to me. I love the family aspect of that family tree of coaching that they have right there. That's always fun for me.
If anything, if the game got out of hand for some reason, one way or the other, do you think that one of them would stare the other one down like, really? Are you not going to put in your subs? You're really going to do this to me, Mom? Or are you really going to do this to me, daughter? What? Do you think they have
I don't think Leah can ground her if she doesn't do it.
Not anymore.
I don't think she can do that. I don't know.
You know how funny that'd be if she yelled down there, I'm going to put you in timeout.
You're not invited to Christmas.
Yeah, it's a good thing that's over. Be sure and schedule those games after Christmas so the dinner table will be all right.
Or Coach Ridley yells, I remember Mother's Day's coming up.
That's right. Yeah, Tatum has the advantage on this one because there's still the Mother's Day.
Who knows when their birthdays are
out there.
But those storylines I like. Should be fun because you got a couple of good basketball minds playing against each other. And yeah, anyways, should be fun. Hopefully we get them in tonight. I think we'll be okay, actually.
I do too, games. Because even I was just reading the National Weather Service for – we'll have to read the weather later like you do. It even feels like they pushed it back a couple of hours here.
Yeah.
Because yesterday it was 30% chance of rain this evening and then changing over sometime around midnight. They pushed that all the way back from 1 to 3.
Okay.
You know, so it's it feels like it's a little bit later and everybody ought to get home.
So you're saying maybe Wednesday, Thursday, you think there'll be like ice and snow on the ground on the roads Friday? Maybe in north central Oklahoma.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe around,
just because it's not supposed to get warm until after, you know, Saturday 37.
Like some roads would be bad between here and say Billings.
You're hoping so. I know you're hoping so. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not.
Okay.
But if anything changes, we'll get that out there.
Oh, absolutely.
With our social medias, with our radio stations.
We'll always put the schedule out on our socials. Mm-hmm. You can find that there. And then when stuff changes, of course, we can go back and edit that.
Yeah, we'll get it.
So right now,
we'll get it out there.
Less noted, all the games, 6:15 pregame, 6:30 tip. But Leedy at Moreland.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock tip, so about 3:45 pregame on that one with Lake and Treasure.
All right, I mentioned that the rankings are locked in for 2A through 4A as of yesterday. Playoff pairings will come out Friday from the OSSAA because this now that the rankings are set, this gives them a chance to look around the state and lock in where everybody's going to be headed. Merritt on the girls' side did not end up in the top eight. A couple of those losses here in the last couple of weeks, they stay at number 11, so they're not going to be one of those top eight seeds. Their boys aren't ranked. Neither Elk City team is ranked. On the boys' side in 2A, Mangum is right there, kind of the same as Merritt. They're at that number 10, 11 spot. I think 11 is what Mangum ended up at. It was like 14 and 2 or something like that. Hobart's in there as well, that just kind of outside looking in, at least at the top eight. I'm intrigued to see where Elk City gets sent because the last couple of years with the rank with the records that the Elkettes and the Big Elks had amassed, you kind of knew, unfortunately, where you're headed, and you didn't want any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Kingfisher and how good that team was, and in with the records of the Elk City teams, you kind of had that feeling like, dang, we're going to end up there. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. You know, the Elkettes, 8 and 9, man, they had a chance to maybe even find themselves in the rankings if those 2 3-point losses last week go the other way. You know, instead of 8-9, now you're looking at 10-7. And guess who's ranked at 10-7? Blanchard, who you would have beaten if you can turn those two 3-point losses around the other way. So, and then the Big Elks are, what, 6-9, I think is their record now. Yeah, it's got to be different than that. Yeah, that may be right. Or 7-9. Yeah, they played 15 games, 7-9. So it's not the, you know, 3 wins or 4 wins that they've had the last couple seasons. So you hope that somebody else has to take that path. I actually wonder if we won't see, I think Clinton, the boys being ranked, probably keeps this from happening to them. I wouldn't be shocked at all if we don't see Elk City over at Weatherford for district. Or at Clinton.
That's why I said last week, could we see him go just a little bit east on I-40, either Clinton or Weatherford? I think it could be one of those two.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And then if it's not, I could see. Okay, I could actually say, is Clinton Weatherford ranked too close to be put in a district?
I think so.
Okay.
On the boys' side, you're talking about number 18 and number 12.
Right.
That's a heck of a hard district.
Yeah, it is.
But does that mean they might not see each other the first round of regionals?
Sure.
I think that's a distinct possibility.
Wasn't that last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe in the last two.
Yeah.
If I remember right. And so, you know, the Elk City teams haven't been around them until regionals, and even later in regionals, being in the same regional but different, you know, first mm-hmm. games or whatever, different sub-sites. And then, actually, those two teams, Elk City and Clinton, played in the consolation finals of the regional last year at Kingfisher, both boys and girls, and Clinton got the better of Elk City in both of those. And so I think it's really interesting that we might actually see that trio button heads pretty quickly in the playoffs. And I say that, and it could end up being something totally different. But the way that the teams are dispersed in Class 4A as far as the top eight and where they're located geographically, the girls split almost perfect. Kind of 4 East, 4 West, couple in the middle. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. you can make that pretty easy. On the boys' side, it's like 6 West/Central and 2 East. Victory Christian and Tulsa Central are the only East teams in the top eight on the boys' side. Everybody else, Kingfisher, Heritage Hall, Tuttle, Klassen, Newcastle, they're all right there, you know. And so I would imagine when we see this, depending on how they want to split, you might see a south and a north down I-40 for 4A. And that doesn't happen all that often, you know, where it could be like a Kingfisher or a Chickasha or a Blanchard or a Tuttle, something like that. As far as the area sides or regional sides, for sure. I wouldn't be shocked if you're on the southern side of the thing, if you don't end up in Washington for the area. That seems like a spot that where everybody can kind of converge depending on where they're coming from. And then, you know, maybe somewhere in Oklahoma City or an Edmond school, or I don't think it comes clear out to Southwestern. I think it's too far west. You know, I don't think it's there, but it'll be, I can't wait to see kind of where that's at. Oh, well, here we go. Woodward. Huh.
Woodward.
I'm getting texts. We'll be part of the picture somehow.
Ah.
It's interesting.
Kind of forgot about Woodward.
Very interesting.
They're definitely a player.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, two-way, can we talk a little bit about Merritt? Obviously, Merritt probably hosting a district with help of their girls' record.
I would think so.
Right, coming in at
maybe
11.
even like a sub-site of a regional tournament.
I could see that. Yeah. Now, where do you think they could go?
You know, where did they go last year? They went to Minco, and then Chickasha.
That was their route.
Let's see. I kind of looked at this too on the boys' side. Dale with Shawnee, Oklahoma Union. Yeah, you know, I know where that's at for sure.
Oklahoma Union.
Uh huh.
No.
Cashin, Morrison, Pecola, Hinton, Silo, Watonga. So there's a decent split on the boys' side there of different, you know, kind of southeast versus middle north-ish with a little west in there.
Found Oklahoma Union.
Where's it at?
Do you know where South Coffeyville is?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know where Nowata is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, basically between there.
Pecola.
Closer to.
That'd be a good spot for Pecola and Oklahoma Union
okay.
to be together.
Yeah.
Howe on
yeah.
the girls' side is that way, too.
How many did you think we would say Pecola twice this week on this show?
Yeah, the second Pecola's getting all kinds of cred here on the Skinny on Sports this week with Jim winning
here
poker
they put
over
on
there.
A good poker tournament. They play good basketball. That's funny.
A lot of these sites are the same. Golly, when you think of there's nobody real north outside of Hooker on the boys' side. Their girls haven't hung in there, too. So, you know, that we thought about maybe, you know, Swass is a place that kind of meet in the middle for a panhandle versus a south central
mm-hmm.
team or what have you. It's probably a little bit of a possibility when you got like Ampo and Hooker. You know, that kind of makes sense. But then the girls don't have that same.
I mean, there's Hobart right there at 16.
Yeah, they don't have that same perfect split.
Not really.
At least in the top eight. So it'll be interesting. I think that we'll see exactly where it all shakes out on Friday. But I'm totally interested to see how much credit this late push gets the Elks and the Elkettes. You know, because I think the Elks have won, what, 6 of 8, and the girls before last week had won 5 of 6, and then they dropped all 3. So, but how much credit do they get coming out of Christmas for, and something that hasn't been the case lately, quite frankly, how much did a long football season derail the start of the year? That hasn't been a problem. But it was, you know, it wasn't a problem this year, but it's a factor into maybe a slower start for the boys especially. Since some of those guys were out there on the football field. And it took till Christmas to kind of gel and get together. And, I mean, anybody that watches can tell you that they play a way better brand of basketball now than they did to start the season. I will tell you this. They're not ranked in the top 10. But the Weatherford boys, watch out.
Yeah, they seem to be really catching fire. And they play Newcastle tonight. That could be
really that's a real good litmus
real
test.
Telling of, yeah.
Because the last they haven't lost since the Custer County conflict, the first game out of Christmas. They beat Bethany, who is now just number 20. They were number 10 at the time, so maybe they were overranked. But look at what they've got at Newcastle, Kingfisher on Friday at home, then they go at Anadarko, at Tuttle next week. So we're going to find out if Weatherford feasted on maybe not the best part of their schedule. Or if the Eagles really are that good. And I'm telling you right now, I would lean toward the second part of that, or the first part of that, that the Eagles are good. They sure look the part.
Yeah.
Good luck guarding.
They're rolling.
Good luck guarding C.J. Nixon.
Yeah.
He's just a freshman.
Oof. Hope they can keep him there the whole time.
It's an interesting conversation I was having over the weekend.
I'd love for Western Oklahoma to produce a...
Well, he's a D1 dude.
Basketball
guarantee.
Dude. Yeah.
Hey, I got an update. Breaking news. With regards to Elk City basketball tonight, just going to be varsity games only. So only varsity games tonight against Bethany. Those games will start at 6 p.m., not 6:30. So Elk City basketball tonight, varsity only, 6 o'clock at Putnam City High, not Putnam City North. So PCO, Putnam City Original, Putnam City High School, 6 o'clock for Elk City and Bethany. If you want to write down that address, 5300 Northwest 50th, Putnam City High School, 6 o'clock tonight, Elk City and Bethany basketball game. So they moved them forward 30 minutes with the start time. There's not going to be any JV games, which will ensure that the games start exactly at 6. And that'll be what's happening tonight. 6 o'clock, Putnam City High School, Elk City basketball, varsity only, no JV. And it's coming from the man himself.
Yeah, that's over there. That's the high school over there where they play a lot of neutral site football games at, if you're familiar with that.
If I remember correctly, I believe the Elks played there my junior year against Poteau.
There you go.
At PCO.
DeLisi Park.
You know what,
Jared? Over there. What's up?
Speaking of Putnam City, you know what happened? Well, it's 1996. It's coming up on 26 years ago, actually, because it was in the early spring of 1996, Putnam City Original, there was a baseball scrimmage with Elk City and Putnam City.
Okay.
And a legend was born that day.
1996.
And this guy right here knows because he is the man that coined the term skinny. It was born after that scrimmage at Putnam City High School in 1996.
Who was it? Who was the man?
John David. And by the time he said it, everybody giggled. And by the time we got down to Anadarko for the regional final for the basketball teams, Coach McClure, Danny Mack, was calling me skinny, and you knew it was over from there.
It was done.
And then it was cemented forever.
And a legend was born.
Listen, it was cemented forever when Mr. Shockey started calling me that. If everybody knows Mr. Shockey, they know how shocking that was. But, yeah, so how about that? Back to the scene of the crime.
Cool.
Tonight for me. I shed a little tear of gratitude to John David.
Hey, speaking of baseball and a minute left, because I need to get on this, the raffle that's still happening? Are they still?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Till February something. Nothing but love. Hey, nothing but love for you. It created my new persona. Golly, let me find it. I'll have to have J-Max resend me because there's been way too many text messages. I think it's middle of February. It's $50 a ticket. You get two chances with your $50 to win. Half beef, freezer. It's all for the Elk City baseball program. Maybe the 18th is the last day. Is that a Friday? I think it is.
I know Monday February 18th. The 14th is a Monday.
There you go.
Don't forget that, guys. Hey, reason I brought that up, I saw Jamie McClure at this basketball tournament on Saturday, and I need to give shout-outs to some all-tournament teams. The third-grade Elk City won it. MVP was none other than Lola McClure. Fantastic little player.
Man. I tried to get her to jump out on the floor when the Elkettes were playing in the Hinton tournament because she had got done playing and Jamie had her with her, with him.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit of a struggle on offense, and I tried to get her. Actually, I think it might have even been the boys' game where she was sitting down in front of me, and I was trying to get Lola to go out there and score a bucket for us. We needed one right then.
Great player.
And she probably could have.
It was a fun game. Elk City beat Canute by 4 points, and it was tight throughout. It felt like a championship game, you know? All-tournament team, Haley Shockey, Kanai. I'm so sorry if I get this wrong. Kanani Phillips for Elk City, for Canute, Emma Elliott, and Brackett Ridling. Sixth grade, Canute were the champions. They beat Merritt. All-tournament team was Canute's Jaylee Gray, also Brooke Thomas and Kinley Pruitt. From the Merritt squad, Kipton Dyer and Keeley Touchstone. So there you go. And it was a fun tournament, but I don't know the total dollar amount, but a lot of money was raised.
For tell everybody what for.
For Coach Bingham's son, who just had some pretty major surgery. It was heart surgery. He's doing great. Of course, with all that comes medical expenses and all that, so helping him out right there. And, man, shout out to everybody who donated food, donated their time. Thank you to the officials. They don't get enough love. Thank you to the officials for giving up their weekend to come and help us out. Great officials. Too many to name at the event. And, again, back to those who donated food, because I'm not talking they just went to Walmart and bought a variety pack of chips. My wife stayed up late both nights making – one night it was cupcakes. I got home from Granite. And she's in the kitchen just whipping up some batter for cupcakes. Says, I need help. We got to get this done. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And then the next night we made brownies and lemon bars. And that's just the tip of the food iceberg. There's a ton of baked goods that were donated. And we sold out on Saturday. We had to make more. That's why I said she made more on Saturday night. So it was a great event. Great event for a good cause.
Yep, great work. I know.
Had great weather. Unfortunately, we had to play inside.
But. Oh, my gosh. I don't know how many times I said that on Saturday. Walking into the gym at Weatherford and seeing different buddies from over there or whatever and going, we should be playing golf.
I told one of the coaches, said, hey, no offense, but I'd rather be outside right now.
We should be playing golf right now. It's 72 degrees, no wind in January.
Yeah, that's great.
Everybody have a great day.
Be safe.
Be safe. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball.